Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Oh boy, Steve.
The whole episode?
Yeah, I think I lost that full first half, which was about 40 minutes. Oh, dun, man. Dun, dun, dun. We had so much great Trump talk going on here. I started re-recording. This might be a shorter cast for you guys. I'm really sorry about this. But yeah, just so you know, we talked a lot about Biden literally winning 2 seconds after starting this podcast.
Yeah, I wonder if we've lost my incendiary statements that could get us investigated by the FBI.
Oh, that's true. That's at least one high point of this. But just so you know, the only gaming stuff we actually talked about was apparently Pokemon cards are worth a lot of money right now.
Yes, Pokemon's fucking huge. And then something we didn't
old
talk
Pokemon
about.
Cards.
Yeah, something we didn't talk about, which we can plug in now, I guess, depending on how long or short this cast ends up being. If this cast ends up being 5 minutes, that's kind of funny too. So that's okay.
Yeah, there you go. It lasted almost as long as the Trump presidency.
This is going to be just like the Civil War to the South. It's going to be something that they did for 4 years that they never fucking stopped talking about.
Yeah, you're going to, that's what I'm going to say. It's like, in 4 years, there's going to be like red MAGA hats are going to be, the Confederacy.
Oh, absolutely.
The Confederate flag. Sorry.
The Confederate flag will be replaced by the Trump flag.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already got it going with usually what you see next to the Trump flag.
The bigger difference is the majority of Confederates were actually probably eligible and healthy enough to serve in the military. I was actually kind of laughing because I have a lot of friends who are ex-military guys, and because I play Warhammer and it's big with ex-military guys, right. And one of the guys, he's pretty fresh out of the military. Just like 2 years ago, he got out. He's a higher ranking guy. So he was there for almost his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that it's like the young people going into the military now are all, college educated, very smart, because they're all flying drones and doing like tech work for the military.
Right.
So it's like that whole shift of like the military is all about like super conservative guys. It's like that's changing.
Yeah, that's fading. It's fading away because you're slowly getting people who are just like higher educated, and like the quote unquote liberal indoctrination of getting a higher education is really just learning about the actual world.
It's learning about the actual world, gaining empathy, that whole thing.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like the quote unquote liberal indoctrination is learning facts.
However, here in Illinois, it's still kind of rough because we didn't pass the tax bill. Which...
You know what? I was talking to my coworker about that, and I have to say, like, this is another reason why our electoral system and the way we vote is very broken and needs a lot of reform. Because the misinformation campaign,
oh God, it's ridiculous,
about that was so good. Like they ran a fantastic, from a standpoint of analyzing like how good someone is at being evil. Like round of applause on this one, because I have people I know who 100% completely agree with the way that, because I literally asked them, I was like, how did you vote on the tax thing? And they're like, oh, I voted against it. I don't want higher taxes. I'm like, okay, you make over $400,000 a year? And they're like, no. And I'm like, then you wouldn't pay any extra taxes. Actually, you might even gain something if they pass it. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then I explained how it went. And they're like, but that's not what it said. And I'm like, you're right. That's not what you heard, and that's not what it looked like, because it was written and done in such a way to handle it was built to be misinformed, and they were successful doing it. So we need to have something that where like there needs to be a easily digestible, understandable chunk of the bill that's not wrapped up in a bunch of legal fucking ease on the ballot, where it's not just a do you support this name of ballot, like when they talk about big ones, like do you support Proposition 73? And it's like, the fuck does that mean? It just says a number. Like, I don't know what that means.
You're against free bus fare for war widows?
Yes, exactly. So like
mooching war widows.
Yeah, those damn war widows. Yeah, so they need to like actually put something like, do you like Do you think people making over $400,000 a year should pay extra taxes? Like, flat, just yes, yeah. No. And then there you go. That's how you do the referendums. Like, just do them like that.
But well, it's a little different because it's not necessarily people making over $400,000 a year, like on a salary. Right. There's a lot of other things involved with that as well.
Yes, so, you need to get into as defined state as possible that is not misleading, but maybe not is all of the details, if that makes sense. Because, you know, when you read any bill,
damn it, we lost this non-binding referendum.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, you know, there needs to be like some level of like explanation. And that's why I always tell people, like, there was a while ago, when the primaries were hot fire in 2015, I was getting some people to take some of those tests that were just questions, like, who do you yeah. align with? And it's just questions. It doesn't tell you, it doesn't give you any information about it. It literally just asks, like, how do you feel about this issue? How do you feel about this issue? How do you feel about this issue? And it shows you exactly where you line up with the candidates that were running, with the platforms they had to offer. And like a bunch of people I knew took it for me, and they were like really surprised by the results. And they're like, wow, like I agree with, like one of them was like, wow, I agree with Bernie Sanders a lot more than I ever fucking thought I would. And I'm like, there you go. Like that's that. And because that's the thing, the level of like what's mixed in with fame, because Trump is the perfect example of a known value being able to push its way into places it shouldn't be, because of literally fame. Like,
well, literally fame and lying and
it's fame. Like everyone knows him. Cause like I had people who were, I would say they're not quite apolitical cause they're a voter, but they're not into politics. So they're like, when Trump won, they were like, well, I mean, I know he's a good businessman, so maybe it'll be okay. But that's the level. It's just like, you don't know anything. Like, why would a good businessman be good at being the fucking president? Like, that has nothing, like those two, like A, he's not a good businessman. That's the first step. B, what would a good businessman do in the president, like in the Oval Office? He's the commander in chief. What does running a business have to do with anything? So that's what I mean. So like, and that's the level of.
Yeah. One, as I will say this, and I said it earlier in the podcast, but if you take the entire world population and you think of yourself as the mean average, if it's just you being average, there are 3.5 people in this world dumber than you. So you just got to keep that in mind.
It's true. And I guess not huge news, but somewhat exciting news. A new studio called Fifth, or actually, I guess I shouldn't say they're new, a studio I haven't heard of before, named Fifth Angel Studios.
Yeah.
Picked up Mercs.
Oh, cool.
They bought Mercs. So that's kind of exciting. They bought all of the
Mercs. You did like Mercs back in the day.
My actual biggest complaint about Mercs, huge, and I actually think it's a huge issue. Like, other people didn't agree with me, but I personally think it was a huge fucking issue because it was super important. So Mercs Miniatures, the game, facing is super important.
Yes.
But the way they did facing for their game is they didn't do it like Privateer, where like the front half of your circle base is the front and the back half of your circle base is the back. They broke the circle into four quadrants.
Yeah.
And so then it was fourths.
And if you didn't have markers on your base for that.
Right.
Pain the butt.
Right. So you'd have to paint your own markers, which is hard because like hard to be super accurate with that.
Unless you have a friend with a 3D printer. Am I right?
Well, I mean, Mercs was definitely long before.
I know it was. Yes. Common.
And they didn't do bases that reflected they didn't do notches on the bases. So that, and actually that one thing was one of the biggest things that turned me off of the game. It was just like, it's so fiddly. And like when you look at bases where people painted their own lines, it just kind of like, I don't know. It just never sat right with me. It was my biggest gripe. It's just like, if you're going to do something that, cause it's really fiddly, cause it's super important. Cause there was dudes where it's like, this guy has like these bonuses if he's attacking from the right side. Like they were that important to the game mechanics. And it's like, if you have something that is that important to the game mechanics, that needs to be integrated into the model. Like that needs to be on your game piece somewhere. Like you need to do custom bases with notches, or you need to have like a base insert that shows exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always been an issue with mine. Cause then I even think that personally myself while painting, if you have to paint on the markers on the base, it is the ugliest looking thing that you'll ever see in your life.
Right. It looks really bad. And that's, and even Privateer Press only barely got away with it because a lot of the models, like, it really fucked with perspective and how you built the models. Cause it's like, you know, some of them are like kind of like a dynamic pose and you're, and they say like, we'll use the shoulders to determine the front facing. And there's like, there's definitely a couple jacks where it's just like, what shoulders? and then there's other ones where it's like, I guess, but the shoulders aren't exactly straight because like one shoulder is more towards the front, one shoulder is more towards the back. So then you have to put the jack on like a weird angle on the base, and the jack never actually faces forward because to use the shoulders as the measure, as the dividing line, he's kind of always at like a jaunty angle. So
a jaunty angle.
Yeah. So that's my big, that's a huge gripe of mine. If you're going to get that nitty gritty with your facings for your miniatures game, please integrate it into your base.
Yeah, exactly. I'm 100% on that one. Or you could find a friend with a 3D printer.
But you can't go with that because that's not how the game is. That's not from the game.
I know, but I'm just saying I could easily take a base and put markers on the base with a 3D printer.
Me personally, I would never design a rule set that had that kind of
thing. No, I wouldn't either. I think that style of gaming, if you're going to do that, put them on a square base. It just makes it easier.
Yeah, actually, yes. If you are going to do that, just do a square base because that solves all of the issues in one shot.
Exactly, yeah.
Because then if you want there to be four cardinal directions that are very important for your game, make a base that, or use a base that has four cardinal directions.
Yep. So I'm going to talk about something. We're going to break some news here. I don't necessarily think it's actual breaking news. This is more of like an intense rumor that I think is going to happen. Age of Sigmar 3rd Edition will be coming out probably by next year sometime, probably next year Christmas, not this year Christmas. Mm-hmm. It might be the big Christmas or summer release next year. I feel that Age of Sigmar 3rd Edition or whatever we're going to call it. Is there official AOS 2? Is it second edition?
The Soul Wars set was the official launch of second edition.
Second edition,
That rule book is second edition. Like that is a thing. It is a second edition rule book.
So third edition, you could see it coming out right now. They're doing the Broken Realms kind of campaign system.
Yeah, you're saying that this is the equivalent to the Malign Portents.
Malign Portents, yeah. So Malign Portents was like right before the beginning of second edition AOS. Broken Realms, I think, is kind of that precursor to it. I don't know what the big rules will be, in all honesty. I look through Broken Realms and I'm kind of like, this looks just like a campaign system. This doesn't really look like like any major rules are being debuted, kind of like how the endless spells were debuted for I guess they weren't debuted for that soul for the Malign Portents, right? That was after Malign Portents that happened. But the you go through the what's going on with Broken Realms and you're kind of like, oh, this is exactly what's happening. And I feel like third edition is going to focus heavily on Dark Elves being kind of the main villain, like Nagash was for second edition.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so like this is going to be like Morathi. You're probably going to end up seeing the or it might not even be Morathi, it might be Malekith or Molarian or whatever they're calling him nowadays. He might be the big bad of the new edition.
Yeah, that would be cool. I put him because they could put him on a brand new giant ass dragon.
Well, no, he's not. He actually merged with the dragon, so he's like a dragon dude. Yeah, according to the lore,
he's a dragonman.
Yeah, as the only person in the world who has read AOS lore, I can tell you.
I mean, I listened to a few of the audiobooks, which I really enjoyed. We talked about that before, though. Which is
Jonathan Keeble.
Yes.
Yeah. Hammerhand! They actually, Black Library just put out a bunch of audiobooks of the first three Felix and Gotrek novels, which I'm kind of excited about. The original first three Felix and Gotrek novels. I wish they would go back and do some of the old fantasy books because those were... They're just fun fantasy reads. There's nothing great about them. They're not like, they are definitely not Nebula award-winning books, but they are fun to read. And it'd be nice just to have those for like, you know, listen to a audiobook that while you're painting. That's what's nice about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was, however, if you are looking for a good fantasy reference, I've talked about Joe Abercrombie's First Law series on this podcast before, but the newest book just came out and literally the last 50% of that book describes an empire, like a Warhammer tabletop game with empire. Like it's literally
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I really enjoy that series quite a bit. I like the writing style. It's grimdark, but with a sense of humor. So it's not like
Yeah. I know a lot of people who really dislike
grimdark.
No, they dislike levity. Like they're always, like in Lord of the Rings. Like I have like a friend who's like biggest complaint. He's like I don't like when they do the dwarf jokes with Gimli, or when he has the scene where he asks Aragorn to toss him. And I'm like, it's fucking fantasy, dude. Like, give it a fucking break. It doesn't have to be like 24/7 grim. God damn.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one is the way everything turns out is always pretty grimdark, but it's usually, but the characters are pretty funny and self-reflective. I think it could kind of be a bit of a turnoff when it's too much.
Yeah, well, that I will agree that it's hard to find a good balance.
Yeah, sometimes the characters, yeah. Characters can become a little bit one note when they're always just kind of like self-reflective to the point of absurdity.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. I don't think that occurred in any of the Loder movies, but I can I can see that being like where the characters like they are 100% just a specific joke and that's it.
I would never in a million years consider the Lord of the Rings movies to have any sort of like comedy in them. There are like maybe I can think of 5 to 6 funny parts of the entire movie that I would consider laughing at.
Yeah, but there's some funny lines, like when Gimli's at the bridge with Aragorn and he's like, "You have to toss me."
that moment is actually a pretty funny moment. Like, there's some unintentional funny moments, like when Legolas and Aragorn are fighting in Helm's Deep, they're arguing with each other, and then he goes, "I'll die as one of them," and you see like the guys in the background like, "What?"
What's happening? Like he was just talking to this cool elf friend, and then he said something about dying.
Yeah, that's like unintentional Lord of the Rings comedy. Alongside like on the other side, there's Legolas riding the shield down the stairs, which is funny in a like this is absurd kind of way.
Yeah, I find that's arguably I think one of the most divisive moments in the entirety thing is because people either are like, yeah, that's dope because elves are like. Lord of the Rings elves are stupid, like they're just insane, like that's how they are, because like there's things you don't, like a lot of people don't notice. I mean, now I'm sure everyone knows, but like in the scenes where they're in snow, like Legolas is not in the snow, like every character is trudging through snow. If you go back and watch any of the scenes where there's in snow, Legolas is on top of the snow. He doesn't sink,
because it's a great movie detail,
because Lord of the Rings elves, like Middle Earth elves, Tolkien elves, are beyond busted. So like there is no, like, people get mad about him sliding down the fucking stairs, like shooting arrows, because they're like, that's a little ridiculous. But it's like he's a fucking Middle Earth elf. They are ridiculous. That's the whole point.
He's like not even like one of the better ones.
The ancient elf kings 1-to-1 fought Balrogs.
Yeah.
So like elves are super strong. Like the only character in like the entire fellowship, like not counting Gandalf, because Gandalf is the most powerful member of the fellowship. But like the only character in the fellowship who could have a chance against Legolas in a fight would be Aragorn, because Aragorn is the best swordsman in Middle Earth.
He's like, also part elf.
Right. Yes. He's the Dunedain, so he has elf lineage. So he's got busted lineage, and he's also the most busted swordsman. Like he is the strongest. Boromir is the great, like that. The Boromir and Aragorn is brought up a lot, and like people ask if Boromir could beat Aragorn, and it's like Boromir could fight Aragorn, he would lose. But Boromir is the best swordsman of men. Of man, Boromir is the greatest swordsman.
There's a reason why Boromir dies technically in the second book, but at the end of the first movie, is because the man is just weak. It's he can't handle anything.
I don't agree with that quite exact that statement exactly. I believe that I think that scene and shows that man is very strong, but there is a specific limit to man's strength, because Boromir, like Boromir does something that's absolutely incredible, like in terms of like what someone can do. Like he's well beyond like what would the expected limitations of a human being in that fight. He's fighting, you know, tooth and nail. He goes all the way with just like riddled with arrows. And there's another good movie detail that they didn't use that really irked me is in the books. They talk about when they send Aragorn or when they send Boromir over the waterfall, they have him with all of the Uruk's Uruk-hai's helmets that he killed, and like he was on top of a giant pile of Uruk-hai helmets when he went over the falls, because like he fought so ferociously, he killed like a mountain of Uruk-hai. That was like, and that I thought that was a detail I really wish they would have used, because because Boromir was a super badass, and it kind of like downplayed like how strong he was as a character. But then you have him compared to Aragorn. Aragorn's ludicrous. Like Aragorn's the greatest swordsman in Middle Earth. So like,
and then in the movies you have a Faramir who's basically neutered in the movies. How he's so badass in the fucking books, and then the movies he's still good, but he's kind of a wiener.
They didn't nerf his character and not characters in like they didn't nerf his strength of character. His strength of character I felt was conveyed in the films very well, because that was the whole thing. Because that was the biggest difference in like they kind of get into it, like explain with their father, but like basically the Steward of Gondor only gave a shit about Boromir because Boromir was a great swordsman. He was an amazing warrior. Yeah. He had heroic achievements on the field of battle, and Faramir was a soft boy. Like, but Faramir had heart.
Was he a soy boy?
Faramir was a soy boy beta male to Boromir's strong ass alpha male. And that's why he favored Boromir so much. But that was the whole point, the whole split that they showed is like, because Boromir and Faramir loved each other. Like Boromir loved his brother, Faramir loved his brother. They had no friction whatsoever.
So it's like the virgin Faramir versus the Chad Boromir.
Yes, exactly. But that was the whole point. The whole point was
quite literally. But anyway,
Faramir was supposed to, you know, was extremely scrupulous. Like that was the whole point with Faramir. Like, he was you know, he was supposed to be, you know, fair, even-handed, and just loaded with scruples. And he arguably because Boromir doesn't quite fall for the ring, but almost, like Boromir almost falls to the ring, because he does for a short moment, for a brief moment, he has a moment of willpower break and he tries to take the ring from Frodo, but Faramir does not. So like that should be the defining difference between their characters, and like that's a big point about the characters, which they conveyed reasonably well in the movie. Those movies are just really fucking good.
I just want to talk about these fucking movies.
I mean, they're just really good, and the thing they're one of the things that, like, you know, they're inspiring, but they're also super difficult, because like, you know, all role playing is kind of like derivative of, Lord of the Rings is really kind of the I guess defining thing for RPGs, right? Like every RPG is kind of like derivative of Lord of the Rings, because that's really the fantasy genre. Like the you know, that you have, you know, your fighter, because like the original crew of a RPG was, you know, a combat man or a wizard man. Like that was it. Like, and then you had the cleric. Like the cleric was one thing that Gygax added to the fantasy genre, but like for the most part, like the fantasy, all fantasy parties were based on the fellowship. That was what you consider.
Oh yeah, that's the ideal situation. Well, no, yeah. I take that. It's not the ideal situation.
It's not the ideal situation. It's just what they're all modeled after. Like every party is compared to the fellowship in terms of like making an adventuring party, because you have your dwarves, you have your halflings. Because in the original Dungeons and Dragons, you know, you could be a dwarf, you could be a halfling.
Listen, man, the original Dungeons and Dragons, the original fellowship is a perfect example of how you should have diversity in your gaming group, and how role-playing games teach diversity and the need for diversity amongst your group of friends.
It's true.
I mean, not getting over the fact that everyone in the fellowship is white, but they're all technically, and most of them are the different races from each other. They all have to.
I believe they would be different ethnicities. I think that's what it is. Cause that's like, you know, cause like a Swedish person and a German person.
Well, yes, different ethnicities, but in Lord of the Rings, it's specifically different races, and in Dungeons and Dragons, majority would be different races. Like you'd want an elf, you'd want a dwarf, you'd want a halfling. You wouldn't all want to be dragonborn or Dragonkin.
You want, you want the strengths of what they bring to the table.
You want the strengths of what they bring to the table, and you can counter their weaknesses with someone else's strengths, and that's how it works.
Like the elf is physically fragile but great at casting spells. Well, who's gonna protect them? A human or a dwarf? Like,
yeah. Well, and that's just it. You don't have to just have fighters. There's different types of fighters. You can have a tank who could sit there and absorb damage for you while you have your barbarian.
Look at the barbarian. Look at the muscularity.
Exactly. You got your barbarian going on there. You have you have to have a thief just in case. You know, they all do their same thing. Like, sometimes you're going to need to have a lockpick. And you know what? If that thief fails his lockpicking roll, that barbarian will kick down the door. And it's okay.
That's right. Just back it up.
Back it up. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's where we need to, that's why more people need to play role-playing games, is because it might teach them empathy and understanding.
Yeah. Or make them really weirdly right-wing neckbeards.
It might make them antisocial mama's boys, but that's besides the point. We were talking with something that probably got lost in the previous cast was that I wanted to point out that the Republicans have not won the popular vote in the last 30 years. They won it once in the last 30 years for George W. Bush. And Trump has consistently been below 47% approval rating for his entire presidency, only surpassing Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush in popularity or in approval rating. His entire presidency.
Yep.
So that's just something that I wanted to point out. Donald Trump, also the only president to ever have lost the popular vote twice. Only one.
Womp womp.
Yeah. So that's just something that I wanted to point out there for some of our fans. I'm sorry you guys missed that beginning part. It was some magic that we just can't recreate.
Yeah, and you know, possible tracking by the FBI that we also can't read.
Yeah, well, thank God that got part cut out. Gee, I was gonna have to go through the entire podcast and cut that part out too. Like, I know normally I let you go with a lot of your ranting because I'm just like, whatever, we don't have enough that like where it matters. But I was like, you can't advocate murder. It's just one of those things that you just can't do. Also, this is the first one-termer president we've had in over 30 years.
Yep. Oh, it's all over but the crying.
Yeah. For the only one-termer president that actually Biden may get close to beating Obama's. No, he won't beat Obama's electoral count. He's because Obama won Florida and Ohio, and so he won't catch up to that.
Yeah. He absolutely spanked his total votes, though.
Oh yeah, that's just because, as we said, this is a referendum on Trump, and luckily, there's a majority of voters who support, who are not Trump supporters. Let's just put it that way. It's not a healthy thing to look at that number of people who voted for Trump, but I think, as I said, a lot of them are goldfish, and like it's just going to go on to the next person. You know, it's like,
oh yeah, for sure.
It's not like they bought into the Trump brand that badly.
Yeah, we can assume that, like, I'd say like 20 million people bought into the brand. I'd say that's
right. I would go a little higher than that. I would probably say, you got to remember, Steve, half the population is dumber than you.
Well, I'm saying legit bought into the brand, not like the guy who's like got some sort of weird even-handed response. I'm talking about the dudes in the hats running around screaming.
Oh, okay, crying
outside the ballot box.
But you know, it doesn't always have to be that way. It's not like for example, it's like the people who use Apple computers, like all they will use is Apple products.
Oh, right. They're just completely like in the cult, whether or not
in the cult of Apple. And then there's someone like me who's like going to buy an iPhone because I really like the operating system better than most Androids. And I think it's a smoother performance than most phones that I've dealt with. I'm not saying all of them, but it's just, it's easy and it's something that I know. So I'm one of those guys that you might think like, oh, Apple fucking fanboy buying his iPhone and get all this stuff.
I mean, I'm willing to be like, it's simple. It's really simple. You have an extreme consistency with your phone. Your phones are more expensive. You overpay for your phone, but you have consistency. Because like I've had many different Android phones, and their level of quality, regardless of the operating system, is just kind of like all over the place. Even with the same brand, like even if you have even if you have Samsung phones, like three different Samsung phones can give you extremely different results. Just as an aside. So.
Well, and I think that's like with most political parties, is like most people are just kind of born into a political party. They may change. Some people do. For example, I know that, you know, my family is majority Democrats. It's always kind of been that way. Not always. I'm talking like my immediate family, like my mother and father. But I could tell my father probably voted for Trump, but he won't admit it. He probably did. If my father voted, I don't even think my father voted, but that's besides the point.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's like, most people just born into their political parties. They don't really question it. So that's a good chunk of the Trump vote right there.
Fair enough. They're pulling the red switch because they've been told.
Yeah, I would say about half of that 70 million was about, you know, let's say 35 million bought into the Trump brand. 35 million just voted because that's just they're going to vote Republican regardless.
I voted Republican. My daddy voted Republican. My daddy's daddy voted Republican.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I don't think I've ever come across a candidate where I'm like, I'm absolutely not going to vote. If there was if there was a Democratic candidate that I absolutely hated, I would not vote for the Republican. I would just not vote.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're fully allowed to not punch that hole.
I feel the same exact way about Biden as I felt about Clinton. There's plenty of good reasons not to vote for Biden. There's no good reason to vote for Trump. So.
Exactly.
It's my same exact statement. Like there's no good reason to vote for him. Like that's simple as that.
And I said for Joe Biden, the reason to vote for him is so that you can get old timey language, and he could screw up on the POTUS Twitter, where he's just like,
I don't want to hear any of your malarkey. Listen here, Jack, how do I open a PDF?
Exactly. Like that's the type of stuff there. It's like,
We might have something solid. We might have something solid to look forward to.
Sad day in America. My cousin Sandy passed away. You know, like that type of stuff. Like yes. old people Twitter stuff. You know, like where he's posting about minions. You know, like is it wine o'clock yet? You know, with a minion in a hula skirt.
Yes, yes, yes. just sharing minions memes on the official Twitter account. I like it.
I on Tabletop Inquirer, who's been on fucking fire during this election. That's the one thing I will say more about anything else in this election. This cycle of the last few days has produced some of the greatest memes.
Oh yeah, the memes are nuts. They're so good. Like I'm seeing
Simpsons
them everywhere.
Memes have just been so fire.
Yes. Say the line, Fox News. President-elect Biden. Yay! Yeah, they've been real good. I agree with that.
Oh yeah, there was let me see. I want to bring up because I commented on it too, because it was Trump head on Emperor's body profile picture refuses to agree to peaceful transition. And player demands victory points for last two rounds not be counted. But I commented that, like, because the guy, it's a Facebook profile with Trump on the Emperor's body, Trump's head on the Emperor's body, yeah, you know, like you see every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I commented, I go, this guy obviously also posts pictures of Tom Hardy or Peaky Blinders with something about, with some inspirational quote underneath it about being a man, because that's just what chuds do.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's always got to be Peaky Blinders or something like that, where he's like, you know, you didn't lose my trust, you never had it. Something like that, you know, some stupid looking shit.
Yes, and those guys with the Trump head on the Emperor's body 100% always have the School of Hard Knocks as their
that's exactly it. School of Hard Knocks
always.
Yeah, the I do like their latest one, which is Stephen Miller looks forward to having more time for making racist 40k memes. But that's just it, is that if you're making 40k memes, they're already racist.
It's true.
90% of the time.
Yeah, or if they're a little teeny bit classier, they use University of Life instead of school.
Use what?
University of Life.
Oh yeah, University of Life.
Yeah, absolutely. if they're a little more scaled back, if they're a little more humble in their nonsense, they go University of Life instead of School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Yeah, I've been to the School of Hard Knocks. Like, I've gotten I got an associate's degree.
Wow. All right.
Doesn't really take anywhere, but you know, you got it. Good. I bet you those people also like look at when Instagram posts those like man boxes that you could buy that come with like hatchets and like flasks of whiskey, and they think, man, I'd really like to get that.
I do. I did really like that. My favorite one personally for me of the recent Tabletop Inquirer ones that was not election related was the 40K player and MTG player both convinced the other guy is bigger dork.
Oh yeah. they did the picture for that one was obviously not dorky enough for most Magic the Gathering and or 40K players.
That's true. Although you can always pick out like the normie looking dudes in the crowd. There's always the dude there who's like, you know, like the Magic player. He's just like the dude, just like in a beanie, just like looks like some guy.
Yeah.
They're never at the top. That's the thing. They're just never at the top tables.
No. The top tables are always the guys with the ass crack hanging out.
Yes. Yes. Or the guy who's like, who you can tell is just wound way too tight.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, but
he looks normal, but you can tell.
Well, that's why he gets to the top table, though, is because he's wound up so tight he understands everything.
Yes.
Yeah. My comment on the one with player demands victory rounds and victory points not be for the last two rounds not be counted is also was that it should actually say player who was given a fully painted army, told exactly how to play, and basically allowed to win the first two turns, demands victory points for the last two rounds not be counted.
Yes.
Because that's what it's like for Donald Trump. But anyway, we no longer have to deal with him on the administrative level.
Yes, yes. Just on the social media level, yeah. For which he will never go away.
And even that social media, he's probably going to get kicked off Twitter real quick.
probably. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of cracking down. They booted Steve Bannon. So it's only a matter of time.
Well, the fact that Steve Bannon is still alive is pretty interesting even to me.
I mean, he does look like he's made of COVID. So maybe he's got like a Three Stooges.
He's been blessed by Nurgle. That's
what. No. He's got a Three Stooges situation going where they're all trying to get through the door. And they're like, nah, move it. Shout ahead.
Invincible.
No, even the slightest breeze could invincible.
Or does he go indestructible? It's one of the two. I don't remember.
I was
really drunk last night, and an article popped up on my feed. It was the oral history of the monorail episode from The Simpsons.
Nice.
And so I was like super drunk. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to go watch The Simpsons. I'm going to go watch fucking monorail. It's like, no one can tell me no. I'm an adult. All right. I think that's about it. I think we've recorded for at least a half hour.
Too long.
We probably did 45 minutes on top of the 45 minutes that we lost. And once again, we do apologize. I think it was just the excitement of them finally calling this fucking election that caused me maybe slip on the record button. But anyway, go to Game Classy, the Facebook page, the best way you can get in contact with us. Subscribe to us on the YouTubes, like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You could follow Steve if you look into his window at night with binoculars. Steve might come back to Twitter at some point now that Trump is gone, but we'll see. We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have the desire to just lambast Biden as much.
It's true. You could always just go there and post like, Biden, this post is malarkey.
Yes, I could just be like, this is malarkey, Jack.
This is Marky Jack. You know how we're going to settle this the old-fashioned way with fisticuffs.
That's right.
man. And you can follow me on Instagram at Game Classy Joe. It's the best where you can see all my painted stuff. I finished off my orc army for Orktober. I'm starting an undead army, Steve.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm doing I found a Patreon where the guys, all of his minis are basically 6th edition Warhammer Fantasy Undead.
Oh, that's cool.
They are really, like, they are almost spot on skelly bones. And they're all one-piece skeletons. So you don't have to print out, like, 100 arms and glue them onto 100 torsos. They're just one piece. Yes.
The torso-legs combination was definitely just ball-breaking for assembling that many skeletons. And then as someone who's assembled a lot of those skeletons, I can say I never want to do it again.
Yes, exactly. And it's luckily we don't have to do that again with these guys. So that's the nice thing. And you know, I'm doing skeletons, and I know that that was not the appropriate thing to do in sixth edition, but c'est la vie. Zombies were more appropriate in six, but and no one really, I don't know, Rob Hawkins will probably yell at me in some way or shape or form about this because he's the undead guy.
Well, usually, so like there was a couple of variants of the Vampire Council list, but like there was the one where you took a shit ton of necromancers and then a small block of zombies and you just summoned into the same block until you had an absolutely ridiculously huge block. Most people didn't use skeletons that I can remember because skeletons were kind of pricey for the points because all you wanted to do was flank charge and just break with fear. So you would just summon a lot of zombies. But there were other builds where you instead focused more on your heroes, like you were using the like you used the vampires to win the fights. Those usually had blocks of skeletons because you didn't have as much summon. It basically is like it was. I think the biggest difference for six ed Vampire Counts armies were how much summoning are you going to plan on doing? Because if you're planning on doing a lot of summoning and you don't have a lot of fighting heroes, you went with more zombies because you're going to be casting, just raising units of zombies to flank charge blocks, making small units that you paid little points for into gigantic units that are still only worth a tiny amount of points.
Well, I actually found also on Thingiverse, I found some guy who, like, I don't know if he scanned it or if he did just did a really good one-for-one of the old plastic wolves.
Nice.
Like, so, like, they're not the best-looking wolves, but you know what? They're most authentic-looking, so that's why I went with it.
That's right.
All right. So, Steve, until the next election.
Listen here, Jack. Let me set you straight. This thing isn't going anywhere. Back in my day, we didn't call it Covoid or whatever. We called it the Shanghai Shivers. I used to know a guy. Went by the name Cornflake Jackson. Old Cornflake used to play guitar down by the pool hall. Here's the deal, fat. If Cornflake Jackson says the Shanghai Shivers ain't no thang, you can take that to the bank, buckaroo. That's how I know you're full of shit. I'll punch your daughter straight in the mouth.
23 Skidoo.
How do I open PDFs?
Game Classy.